Ramsey TV.
All right, folks, check out some of the luminaries who are going to be in Mansfield, Missouri on October 23rd through 25th. The Mortal Fury, the famous Mortal Fury guys, Dean Wilkinson's coming, and Chris Carnahan, I'm pretty sure Chris is coming, and Dean's wife, Amy. They are coming from Evansville to Mansfield, Missouri. Friends of mine, Javier and Robin Salteris, they're in Missouri. I did a meeting at their house maybe 6-7 years ago now, who knows. They're coming in. Selena from Massachusetts, she's coming in. She's the one who used to do the uploading of the Revelation series there, the last half of the Revelation series. Seth and Wes Follenkamp, you met Seth, you know Seth, you watched his shows. His dad Wes, you've seen him ask me questions on my show. He's gonna be there. Matthew Holland, he did that show with me about why Christ could return in 2027. He's gonna be here with his mother, Nancy Holland. I interviewed both of them on a show before. They're gonna be here. A man named Rich in California is coming in. My friend Manfred Jones, who lives down here, we just today booked our flights. I am booked, ladies and gentlemen, I am booked to Springfield, Missouri, and from there, gonna get picked up apparently by, well, the host of the thing, the whole reason this thing is happening, Michael Knotts and his wife Marsha, and it's gonna be great, and their daughter Elizabeth, and it is gonna be, thank God for them, this is gonna be an epic thing. He says he thinks he already has almost 30 people coming. I mean, this is going to be an event. You need to be there. It might be standing room only. But contact him. He'll tell you about lodging in the area. He's going to try to get a discount rate. And like I said, I am pumped up for this thing. It's technically from the 23rd through the 25th. The 23rd is a Friday. I'm flying in on Friday, so we may have an informal get together Friday evening, who knows. Saturday all day, wall to wall, we are going full body of Christ. There's going to be teaching, there's going to be fellowship. Saturday is going to be dedicated to teaching and fellowship, and then Sunday, I'm still going to be there all day Sunday, so is Manfred Jones, a few other people are. I'm going to be available there for you. If you want to talk about anything, you want to discuss things privately, you just want a fellowship, I'm available Sunday for whatever. We might have a formal meeting, we might not. It's up for grabs. The Spirit of God will dictate what we do. Manfred and I, excuse me, are flying out on Monday. Monday at 1 o'clock. So it's going to be great. That's what's happening. I'm sorry I don't know the names of everybody yet, but I've heard some. I called Michael earlier today, and he told me some of the people that are coming, gave me their names, and it sounded, these names, I know these names from many of you who have commented on this show. I can't wait to meet you. It's not too late. I looked at, there's a lot of flights available. Come to Mansfield, Missouri. Why not? It's kind of centrally located. Yeah, it's kind of centrally located. I think somebody's coming in from Utah. Oh, I'd like to give a shout out to Jorge in Mexico, who is listening to Michael Knotts' shows, and I think he listens to these shows. Jorge in Mexico, greetings, my brother. And apparently him and his wife are believers, I think. These crazy things are happening. Michael Knotts, is the Spirit of God is on this guy, and we're just teaching the truth. That's it. Teaching the truth, teaching facts, teaching information. No Pentecostal woo-woo things happening here. It's the Spirit of God causing people to believe the truth. All right, now today I'm going to talk to you about why there is a sea on this planet and why on the new earth there will be no more sea. This is a spiritual lesson, because the sea is typical. The sea is allegorical of something. You're going to find out what it is today. But first, you're going to have to put up with my tales from the sea. All right, I'll try to make it as entertaining as possible. I got things to tell you about my swimming in the ocean. So this is something new to me. I just started doing this maybe a month ago. It was scary at first. Now, when I lived in Winbur, Pennsylvania, I joined the YMCA in Johnstown, and I got up to swimming like a half mile. It was an Olympic-sized pool. I do 16 laps every once in a while, and I have to rest a little bit between laps, maybe 10, 20 seconds. And so I would swim. But swimming in the ocean, it's a completely new thing, believe me. It's a bit scary. It's a wild place, that ocean. I want to tell you a couple stories. Now, a couple weeks ago, I told you, maybe it was 3 weeks ago now, how I had a scary experience. I was swimming in the evening, which is not smart. The lifeguards had already checked out, not smart. And I wasn't completely educated on rip currents. Yeah, rip currents. Yeah, there's nice little things that take you out to sea. Not too far. It's not like they're going to take me out to the Bahamas. It just takes you out a little bit. And you have to know what you're doing, because if you try to swim back against it, you won't be able to do it. You have to swim across it. Or either swim across it, if you're a strong swimmer. I'm getting there. Yes, I guess I am. Or you let it take you. It'll take you just beyond the breakers, beyond the waves. And there's no such thing as a riptide unless there are breaking waves. Now I know. Okay, so you can let it take you out, and then it'll kind of swirl you around, and then you can swim back if you're a strong swimmer. If you're not, you got no business being in the ocean unless there's a green flag at the lifeguard station, which means calm waters, no riptide, no rip current. So anyway, I told you that was a little bit scary. I wondered then if, I don't know if I'm going to come back to this ocean. Well, I did. I got to tell you what happened like a week after that, maybe a few days. I was back in the water during the day, smart guy, yeah, and I'm swimming and I'm just feeling good. And the most I ever swam in the ocean was a half mile. And I'm thinking one of these times a half mile would be like from the elbow room past the Drunken Taco, past the Ritz-Carlton, all the way down to the Westin Hotel. Yeah, the Westin Hotel. So one of these days, I'm going to go a mile. One of these days, I'm going to get trained up. I'm going to swim a mile in the ocean. So exciting. So this day, I was in. The water was perfect. The conditions were great. I started swimming. I got into the zone. This is the thing. This is the most important thing for those of you out there who want to relax, who want to just let the world drip away, fall away from you. You have to get in this. It's all about rhythmic exercise, whether it's running or walking's great, or bicycling, or swimming. You get into a rhythm somewhere between 60 and 90 RPMs, whether it's this, the stroke in the water, or it's the bicycle, or it's walking, or it's running. It's that rhythm over time that puts you in a zen-like state. It's very relaxing, it's therapeutic, it releases endorphins, and it's hypnotic, and the world goes away, especially in the ocean. I find this, the world goes away. And when I'm depressed, when I'm feeling low, if I go into that ocean and start swimming, it's just like the world disappears, and all you hear is your breath and the bubbles, and you're in a foreign world. Well, let me tell you something about the foreign world that day I'm describing. I was feeling good. I was getting the stroke down. I was getting the roll down. I was getting the roll. That's very important. The roll. You get the roll down. You use your trunk to lift your arm. You don't lift your arm. You just roll and let it go. Roll. It was working for me. I said, I'm just going to keep swimming. I was feeling good. And I kept swimming and swimming. I'm not getting tired. What's happening here? Kept going. And I'm kind of aware of where I am. I look up every once in a while. And I notice that I'm pretty sure I'm past the mile mark. Because I know where the mile mark is. It's pretty much where all the buildings end and this little park begins. So I'm not getting tired yet. Swimming. Suddenly, ladies and gentlemen, this giant school of fish. These fish were the size of my hand here, from the wrist to the fingers here, and they were like shiny. I've seen them before in small numbers. It's like shiny green on one side, shiny silver on the other side. And there was a wall of them. I'm not kidding. It was alarming. Alarming as hell, to be honest with you. But I kept swimming. I mean, there was wall to wall. It was a veil. It was a sheen. It was a just wall of fish. I was probably in 5 feet of water from the top to the floor. And I just kept swimming, and they parted. As soon as my fingertip got out to them, they parted. But not until then. And I guess I didn't look behind me, but I suppose they were reforming behind me. And I just swam through this wall of fish. That's all I can tell you. I've never seen anything like a wall of fish. It was amazing. I probably did it for a minute. I'm kind of unnerved. It's like, I hope I get through this. And I did. I broke through. And of course, when you're going through the wall of fish, you're looking for the predator. Because if there's that many fish, there's somebody looking for lunch. I didn't see the predator, thank God. I kept swimming. Anyway, by the time the reason I stopped is because I was going to expire my parking meter. I wasn't getting tired. So I got out. I looked at my watch. This is my ocean watch, my waterproof watch. I swam for 1 hour, 15 minutes nonstop. And I got out of the water. I didn't even know where I was. I really didn't know where I was. And I just started running back, you know, to my stuff near the elbow room, barefoot. When I got home, I checked the GPS via Google Earth, and I'd gone swam 1.8 miles. What? It's impossible. 1.8 miles. I could have gone 3. I just wasn't getting tired. One of these crazy things. I wanted to share that with you. Now, what happened yesterday was unbelievable. And today was crazy too, but this is yesterday. I'm doing a half mile swim. That's all I had time for, and which is getting easier and easier for me. It's still a wild world down there, wild world. So I'm swimming, and this time I see fish, and I've seen these in small doses. It's a fish. This one is from my tip of my finger to my elbow. It's this long. Yeah, that's this long. What is that, about a foot and a half? And there was a lot of them. There was like hundreds of them. They were underneath me, and there was, I mean, I'm only in like 5 feet of water, 5.5 maybe. I could probably touch, sometimes not, but I can see the bottom. But there's hundreds of these, and I'm thinking, then they're big, and I got unnerved, and I'm thinking, holy cow, I gotta look for the predator. And you know what, I'm swimming, I'm still okay. I remember those little fish. There was a lot of those. These were bigger ones. I'm getting a little nervous, but not too bad. But still thinking about the predator. And then out of the corner of my eye, I saw the predator. Yes, I was in the water with the predator. The predator was the length from my fingertip to my shoulder. The predator was... Look at the screen. Look at the kitchen cam. The predator was this long. This is not a fish tail because this just happened yesterday. The predator was this long. But fortunately, he didn't want Zender for lunch. He was interested in the relatively little fish, which were this big. The predator was this big. I just saw him go out. I was so startled. I stopped. I put my head out of the water. I was like, shit, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, I'm already in with this dude, so I'm just going to keep swimming. So I just kept swimming, and I saw him go. He wasn't interested in me. I scared him. He was off. I started swimming faster to get away from the cafeteria. I don't want to be in the fish cafeteria. You got these guys here and a big guy wanting to eat them, and wasn't interested in Zender for lunch, thank God. So I just kept going, and that was exciting. This morning, you know what I saw this morning? Another half-mile swim. I'm swimming along. The water's in great condition. Clearest I've ever seen it. Calm. Almost like a lake. It's not usually like that. There's usually 1 to 2 foot waves coming in. So anyway, what do I see? This is what I see. There's right there. That's a picture of what I saw. Yeah. I saw a stingray. It looked just like that. A stingray underneath me. On the bottom, you know. Isn't that what killed Steve Irwin? Anyway, I find out they're gentle creatures. Not that I interviewed it, but I just said, I hope you stay there, little stingray. I'm just passing through. So I just kept swimming, and it just kind of went along the bottom. I was like, this is exciting. Why the sea? Why do we have a sea? A sea has meaning in scripture. It is a parable, not a parable. It's metaphoric. It stands for, it's symbolic of the nations, of the turmoil, of the instability of the times we live in. And we know this because on the new earth, I'm preempting myself a little bit here, there will be no more sea. I want to take you to Revelation 13:1. Revelation 13:1, I'll be reading this from the Concordant Version, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, 13:1. And it, talking about the serpent, it was standing on the sand of the sea, and I perceived a wild beast ascending out of the sea, having 10 horns, 7 heads, and on its horns, 10 diadems, and on its heads, blasphemous names. Ladies and gentlemen, this description of the dragon is the same description as the four beasts. It's an amalgamation. It's a composite of the four beasts of Daniel, chapter 7. And Daniel saw four beasts coming out of the sea. So the beasts come out of the sea, and here we have another beast here called a dragon coming out of where? The sea. So the sea is not used allegorically as a happy place. Now I turn to Revelation 17, 15. Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, 17, verse 15. And he is saying to me, these waters which you perceived, John perceived waters. Listen to this. This puts it in a nutshell. These waters that you perceived, where the prostitute is sitting, are peoples and throngs and nations and languages. There it is. The waters where the prostitute is sitting are peoples, throngs, nations, and languages. The sea is unpredictable. It's a dangerous place. I'm swimming in it. I don't know why God has me doing that. What's that typical of? What's that allegorical of? Why am I in the midst of the sea seeing all these creatures and yet getting some kind of therapy while I'm in there? Therapy. I'm getting therapy in the sea. That's weird, because God uses the sea as an analogy of the turmoil of the nations, of the peoples, of the throngs, and the people of different languages. We have a confused world in the sea with its waves that are different every day. And the life in there is different every day. And it looks different every day, every time I go out to it. God has me here for a reason. Every time I look out of it, it's different every day. Just like humanity. And I don't like change. I mean, change is inevitable. I understand that. I mean, I'm looking forward to the big change from mortality to immortality. But for now, change sucks to me. And the sea is typical of change. And it's where, I mean, this at night, the sea is the scariest place you can imagine. I mean, scary. When I was taken out with that rip current that evening, I got as I told you, if you didn't hear that show, I got this twinge of panic. When you see the shore getting farther away and you can't get back, I know it's a rip current, and I know how to get out of it. I swim perpendicular to it, which I did like hell. I'm just like getting scared, and I'm like swim. And you see that you're going out to this void. It's horrifying. Ocean is, I had to get over that to swim in it. It's not a swimming pool. There's no lines at the bottom, and there's big fish. And I saw a big one yesterday. I saw a stingray today. What am I going to see next? Don't say shark. Don't say shark, please. Okay? Just don't say that. But every once in a while, when the waves are up, you can swim under the yellow flag, the caution flag, which I do, because I know how to handle rip currents now. I know how to see them. I know how to get out of them. I know that if they take me out, you just relax in it. You tread water. I can tread water for a long time, and once it's just going to take you out past the breakers, and you can, and sometimes it'll circulate you back, and you just then swim back to shore. If you can swim. If you can't, you got no business being out there. Okay? That's my advice to you. But my advice also to you is to get out and exercise. Either walk, just get something that gets you in a rhythm. It doesn't matter what it is, jumping jacks, something you can do for a long time, you know, at least 15 minutes, 20, build up, 25, 30, 35 minutes, an hour. It becomes therapeutic. Just, it's the repetition. And the swimming with the noise is like, blah, 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 blah. That's exactly how it is. It's just, there's no people out down there. That's the good thing about it. There's no people. Not that I don't like people. It's just that sometimes I don't like people. So, and think of this concerning the sea. What was used to disrupt the world in Genesis 1, 2? The sea. It was a disruption of water. And there was water above the canopy of the earth, above the atmosphere, and water below. 2 Peter talks about water, the then world destroyed by water. That's not the flood of Noah, that's the disruption of the world. But speaking of the flood of Noah, that was water too. We look at the earth today and it used to be covered by water, completely covered by water. I wouldn't want to be swimming in that nonsense, okay? So, yeah, that's a serious business there, that water. Water's powerful. I was up at Juneau Beach with Marion and Manfred a couple weekends ago, and the red flag was out, and the wave, there was like breaking waves three layers out, and when they were coming in, they were like so powerful, and you don't swim in it. You can't swim in it. You're stupid if you try. But you can play on the shore and let the just wave just force you down into just like eating sand, and you're helpless. It's like rolling you around like a rag doll. It's crazy power. And this is just a part coming into shore. If you want to get a thrill, go to YouTube, watch giant waves, watch ships on these giant like 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 foot waves. Like, are you kidding me? This is power. But it's typical of the unsettled masses of humanity, of the turmoil of the nations that are always moving, constantly at war, constantly quarreling, constantly this, constantly that, changing. And the earth is 75% water. So 75% of what we do is turmoil. And your body is 75% water. I think it's the same ratio, the water in your body to the water on the earth. 75%, three quarters of it is unsettled. Three quarters of it is moving around. It's like, just settle down, calm down. No, it's not going to until this. I'm going to Revelation now. I'm going to chapter 21. This is where the good stuff starts. John says, I perceived a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth pass away, and the sea is no more. There was no more sea on the new earth. The new earth is created by God after this present earth is destroyed following the 1,000-year kingdom. On the 1,000-year kingdom, Israel will have a kingdom of, there'll be kings and priests on this earth. It'll be the same earth. It'll be reconstituted. It'll be regenerated. The curse will be removed, but it'll be this same earth. Now, after the 1,000 years, this earth is destroyed. Peter gives us that information. I'll give you the verse reference down here. And there's a new heavens and a new earth. This is completely new. The old one is gone. And we have no clue as to how big this is, but we know that there's no sea on it. It's a solid mass. And some of you might be saying, oh, that's sad because the seashore is so beautiful. Well, we love the seashore and all the lovely animals in the sea. No, you don't. You don't. Because the sea is not good. Whenever you see water, it's not good because it typifies in Scripture the roiling, boiling masses of humanity, and all these beasts come out of the sea. And the sea is, again, unsettledness. We want solidity. We want sureness. We want unchangeability, and that we will have. And we have it, Paul says, the consummations of the eons have attained to us. I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:11. The consummations of the eons have attained to us. That is everything that the eons will produce. All the spiritual fruit have come to us early, ahead of time, now. So the settledness that will be on that new earth with no more sea. And don't worry about the sea creatures. Don't worry. They're going to have new bodies. They won't need the water anymore. They're still going to be whales and dolphins. They just won't look like whales and dolphins. They'll still be that soul that was a whale, but now it won't need water. It'll be a new thing. It won't be going, no, it's going to be great. So we anticipate this greatness of a new earth with no sea now by being settled in our spirits. We're settled in our spirit. We anticipate today, even in our flesh today, that wonderful time on the new earth where there will be no more sea. One solid mass. That's good news, not bad news, because it means things are settled. It means there's not this turmoil anymore. We know there is no clamor, no more misery, no more death, and no more doom on the new earth. Hey, I want to anticipate that today as much as possible.